Now, it wouldn't be Friday afternoon if we didn't finish off the week with Nicola Tookie, CEO of Forest and Bird, as well as long-standing Critter of the Week commentator. She's with me now to talk about a critter that many of us have probably come across in less than fun circumstances. She's talking about the hairy kelp fly, which loves nothing more than rotting, stinky seaweed. Very disgusting. Nicola, hello. Kia ora. How are you?
Good afternoon. Lovely to talk to you.
So nice. I'm a fan of this feature. And as much as some of your insects sort of disgust me and make my skin crawl, it's fascinating. I've just been up north, and one of my favourite things as well is to collect compost. So I feel like I've seen many flies and like rotting, stinky seaweed. What's the difference between this fly and others?
Well, I mean, I know that we think of flies, right? And we think of the things that kind of buzz around the middle of the room in summer and, you know, get on our food when we're having a barbecue. But there are myriad species of fly, including, I think, one of the very first critters we ever talked about some 7 years ago was a bat fly, which is a kind of real misnomer because it's a fly with zero wings. So, in fact, it should be named a walk.
Sorry. That's a great dad joke that I just loved.
Exactly. Mm. A great dad joke to start your afternoon. So the hairy kelp fly is really, I mean, one of the things I do like this, unlike the bat fly, this one's kind of a well-named organism. It's a hairy fly that lives on kelp. So they are, I guess what I like about them is they are real hardy. They basically hang out in the, and this was a new term for me, I have to say, the rack zone.
Oh, I don't know the rack zone. What's the rack zone?
The rack zone is in WRACK. Is probably where you're collecting your elements of your compost. So it's where the things wash up in a line, and it's, you know, which where you find all the treasures. That's what I'm doing, looking in the rack zone. Where you see the big, yeah, well, if you were looking down the beach while you're on your compost collection mission, you'd be seeing bits of driftwood, more often than not, probably bits of blimmin' packaging tape, bottle tops, shells, seaweed. And it's basically, as the tide comes in, it brings debris up and pops it on the sand, and then the tide goes out again and leaves it there, right? Really important, as it turns out, very important habitat and feeding zone for a whole range of species, and in particular the hairy kelp fly, which is scientific nomenclature is Chytoscelopa litoralis, which kind of artful. I was actually, because I'm a fan of yours as well, I was sort of thinking while you were introducing me about, I wonder if any kind of New Zealand bands want to write a song about the hairy kelp fly. Maybe that's a challenge.
Oh my gosh, there is some good punk songs about flies, human flies. if I was like, hunting around and collecting my compost, there are little bugs that sort of fly out, and there are some quite little fast little buggers, if you don't mind me saying, sort of flying out. What do the flies look like? What do these hairy kelp flies look like? Are they thin little ones, or are they fat?
They're pretty small. So you know, the sort of top of the range for the bloke kelp flies would be a centimetre long. So think about a grain of rice with wings, basically. And the males are larger, more robust, have longer legs, and are hairier than the females. So, you know, in general, mostly like us. And they are, they kind of have these flattish sort of black shiny bodies that you'll see, and they have very strong legs, which help them kind of navigate through the rack. But they are really, really hairy. So the way to think about it, and we have the fantastic Dr. Rebecca LeGrice from Canterbury Museum. She says, imagine if your arms and legs were covered in toothpick-sized hairs. That's how hairy they are. Yeah, I actually, it did make me think of an ex-boyfriend, but we don't need that on a Friday afternoon. So
Oh my gosh, that is quite funny. But why are they so hairy? It must protect them. Is it like, because, you know, hair on the humans is, you know, to protect our innards, I think. Like, you know, yeah. our eyebrows yeah. and our eyelashes. Is it kind of like that for flies? It protects their skin?
Yeah, it kind of does, because they have to be really hardy, right? Like, these are flies, not only they're living at kind of climactic limits or physical limits for their bodies in terms of this constant wind, sun, salt, waves, and they are actually kind of designed that if they get kind of splashed out or immersed in water, in salt water, they just float up to the surface, and the hair kind of keeps them dry, and they're able to take off straight from the top of the water. So it's actually a really useful survival tactic, if you like. And they also they're also pretty good at the cold, so they can they basically their whole sole mission in life is the more stinky and disgusting the seaweed, the rottener the better, basically. And so if they need to be able to get to it and then make the most of it, because what they're using it for is obviously the females lay their eggs in the washed up seaweed. And then they basically are creating a nursery kind of habitat, so that as the eggs hatch, the seaweed started to break down, it's full of bacteria, and the larvae get stuck into that. They can reach, I thought this was really interesting, they're real efficient replicators in terms of a survival tactic. So they can reach sexual maturity within 48 hours.
Or they grow up fast, yeah.
They live fast, which means they can basically knock out a generation in a week. If everything's kind of working well for them. So, yeah, they basically and their mating habits are kind of really interesting.
Tell me about this, because it's quite intense sort of behaviours, isn't it?
Yeah, so they do. They either and so we've actually got a couple of photos, and their behaviour varies depending on the situation that they're in. So they're either kind of buzzing around trying to find mates and food and whatnot, getting on with the necessities of life, or they huddle together and they almost kind of look like that kind of cluster fly situation where they're all kind of cuddling together. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're cuddling. They're taking advantage of the warmth of being connected to each other. And you know, this is what I love about scientists. So how do you figure out how the flies are mating? Well, you get down and get very intense on them. So the couple of scientists in New Zealand who've been studying this species of kelp fly, and it is really important to understand, there's only, I think, 30 species of kelp fly in the world, right? And as it turns out, New Zealand is globally significant for our kelp fly diversity. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we're also globally significant for our marine mammal diversity, and who everyone loves a dolphin and a whale. Probably not so many headlines or T-shirts around our Global Centre for Kelp Fly Diversity. and their mating behaviour is pretty intense. So what the scientists had to do to figure this out was rear the flies in captivity, which is useful, right, because they only take 2 days to reach sexual maturity, so not too much mucking around. And then when they became sexually mature, after that 48 hours, they anaesthetized the flies, so knocked them out, and then got the old, you know, those Posca-like paint pens, those acrylic pens that you might – yeah.
Like write on glass with or something.
Yeah, that's right. Write on glass, or, you know, give to your kids to go nuts with or whatever. So they used Posca pens to identify, you know, oh, that's Merv is the pink fly and Bob is the blue one. And then they basically let them wake up, and they probably didn't get any jelly and ice cream, and then released them into a mating area and watched them go for it, which, you know, it's probably, you know, if I think about back to my days of field research it's probably a pretty cushy number for those scientists. I have to say, you're not tranquilizing lions to figure out how many teeth they've got. You're
True.
knocking out some flies, drawing on them with a pen, and then counting how many times they find each other and have some cup fly business time.
The
Still
mate.
Important.
But the females, though, I read that they don't like all the mating attempts, do they? And they sort of
No.
kick away.
So I found it fascinating. So the results Yeah. basically showed that females reject all mating attempts by, well, they obviously aren't successful in their rejections all of the time,
No.
but they shake and they kick and they curl up their abdomen and probably pull the covers to one side. I'm not sure.
Roll over.
roll over, pretend they're asleep. So this has already gone
Sorry,
awry.
Sorry, same. We're talking about hairy kelp flies.
Yeah, we are, just for the record, we are talking with some deep entomology and hairy kelp flies. So what I also found interesting in terms of their mating behaviour is that they use the scramble competition mating system.
I'm not familiar
which
with that
I
one.
Think,
Yeah.
I think it just means a whole lot of males doing everything they can to get as far as they can, as quick as they can.
Mm.
It sounds like chaos to me, and it basically is described as extreme levels of competition and conflict by males, which from a purely kind of ecological or zoological perspective is risky, right? Because if you are fighting all of the time, you're A, missing out on what you're supposed to be doing, which is mating, and B, you risk getting injured. But they're obviously pretty intense, these things. And they sort of have, while the females have lots of kind of techniques for rejecting, the males have a combination of tools that help them be successful. And some of those include genital claspers. I'll leave that to your imagination. Elongated legs. And highly modified antennae to ensure mating success.
Like
so I'm not sure whether
wrap round or something. Yeah,
really don't know. I do know that I read a couple of years ago about a species of moth, I think in Asia somewhere, that had eyes on its genitals in order to contribute to ensuring mating success. So I think that basically it's like a technology war for the insect world when it comes to how they go about their operations, which, you know, kind of throws a bit of shade on humans if you think about it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you have just taken my mind on an absolute brain train. Do we need to be worried about these are native flies. They're not endangered or anything. I mean, they procreate so quickly, but they're nothing we need to worry about or take care of specifically. Stop my, hunting for seaweed.
I imagine your hunting for seaweed probably isn't making too much of a dent in seaweed kind of volume. However, yeah, no, their current status is not threatened. What I would say, though, is everything is connected, right? So if, I don't know, warming sea temperatures meant that the kelp that they rely on that, you know, storms need to smash up that end up washed on our beach, perhaps that kelp disappears from near beaches or, you know, decides to grow further out at sea where it's cooler and doesn't make it to the beaches, then that becomes a problem for the kelp fly who have evolved over, you know, hundreds, thousands, millions of years, for example, to kind of occupy this niche habitat. So not threatened at this point. However, global hotspot for kelp fly diversity here in New Zealand, relying entirely on the ability to enter the wrack zone and make the most of that rotting seaweed. And in some places, I'm thinking places like, I don't know, St. Clair, South Dunedin, parts of the West Coast, we're losing our beaches, right? We're losing that wrack zone.
With erosion and, yeah.
Correct. So I guess it's another tiny little hairy reminder that climate change thing that affects us all is happening all around us. And, you know, if you are inclined to wear a Global Centre for Kelp Fly Diversity t-shirt or write a song about the significance of the hairy kelp fly, you might be more inclined to take actions which buffer us against the impact of climate change.
That would be so cool. Let's write a song. I'm putting a shout out, musicians, the Hairy Kelp Fly. Just comes off the lips. I feel like, because I remember the Cramps wrote a song called Human Fly. We could almost do a cover of the Cramps song, maybe. I love it.
I'm well aware that I'm sure there is a Batfly song somewhere.
I'm going to hunt it.
Yes, there is. It's by Fat Cat and Fishface. There you
go. They're amazing. Yeah. They are amazing. Any parents, it's a fantastic band you should listen to with kids. Oh, my gosh. Nicola Toki, thank you so much. And you're always wonderful to talk to, and it's been a pleasure to learn more about the Hairy Kelp Fly this afternoon.
Thanks, Charlotte. Have a great weekend.